As far as the website specifically goes, that was put in place before I got here, and it does not utilize technology I would have chosen. As I've said before, it's a champagne website on a beer budget. But we're kind of stuck with it right now until we can make have the budget to move to a different type of web server. Our web server right now is called Drupal. It's a MySQL backend, PHP front end, relatively expensive to maintain site, although it does offer quite a number of features that I'm not sure other Pacific sites do. But with regards to the expenses, those can fairly well be broken out with the payments to Amit, who is the website programmer under the Roble Systems contract.
I would still like to know what is it that you're saying it's the website expense line item is not simply for websites. So
right, can you open it from that email that Maria sent?
I'm looking at it right now, and I'm trying to find the website. Expenses.
Yeah,
I see the repairs and maintenance.
It's robolchartofaccounts.pdf.
Yeah.
And on the first page there, it is 6698. And this is what we've pared it down to. Historically, there was a lot more bundled into it, but we have 1, 2, 3, 4.
What file is this?
It's robolchartofaccounts.pdf.
Nice. We're still paying $1,500 a month for janitorial?
When was it kept?
Where is this? When did it come?
An hour ago.
Well, I'm looking at this document for myself. I saw $1,500 that went out today. I mean, this is over several years, which is a little frustrating, but I saw some money to Baycat, and I'm looking under 6698. There's a bunch of money to LMI.net for bandwidth and co-location. I'm looking at the one called details.pdf. Which is telling me.
I was talking about Roble Chart of Accounts, but let me open details.
What is Roble Chart of Accounts? I don't have that.
Yeah, I
got
have
the same email that Maria sent an hour ago.
Yeah, I have the details.pdf, but I don't have that other one you're talking about.
No, I don't believe Maria sent that.
Sorry, Barbara, I sent it to Roger and they forgot to send it to Barbara, so let me.
No, I see this Roble thing. Yeah, okay, I see that.
Well, I see a bunch of money to LMI.net for bandwidth.
Yes, those are our streams and archives.
Uh-huh.
And web server bandwidth, and email server bandwidth, and lists, email lists.
And that is the majority of the money being spent in that category. It's very expensive.
Yes, it is. And we plan to cut that by one-third within the next few months by a change of Internet service providers.
What about...
And hopefully further than that, if we can get Pacifica to configure a server for our streams, if not our archives. We've been trying to do that for several months, actually for a couple of years now. But there's been... currently, the KPFA servers are more reliable than the Pacifica servers. So that's what's currently keeping us from cutting our streams over to Pacifica, which would save money on both of our accounts.
Mm-hmm. This is Kim. Who does it at KPFA page? We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people here. We have a desktop PC engineer. What?
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Is there a question in the queue?
I think the question from Kim had to do with the tech personnel, of which are, you know, I guess six different people cited, who exactly is being paid to work on the website. I think I know what the answer to that is, but I'll let you answer.
Yeah, that is on page 8 of the November LSB presentation, and mostly Miguel does the content. and I do the operating system and hardware servers, and then I have a subcontractor whose name is Amit, who does the actual programming. For example,
it's not on here. We don't have that document. I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, Maria will need to send that out, the link to that LSB document.
Okay. If you take
but
a look at
Drupal
the
programmer.
Yeah. Let me clarify a bit just to make things clear. Miguel Guerrero is a half-time employee, and he is doing, I guess, what you would call website updating,
yes.
Which is basically just plopping content on, new events and stuff like that. And that's a half-time employee that we are paying to do that. In addition, we are paying Roger's company, Global Systems. And according to according to this PDF detail, $51,000 was paid in the fiscal year that ended September 11th to his company also on the website. So basically what we would be paying would be $51,000 plus the half-time employee with benefits. And it looks like in this year so far, it's been less than that. It's been $26,000 to the website, which I guess is for this Amit person. Yeah, just let me finish. Plus the half-time employee. That's what's credited on this detailed PDF document. And that is through, I guess, 8/28/2012.
Now, are you speaking for, are you talking about IT expenses in sum or about website expenses?
I'm talking about on this detailed PDF document what is put in account 6698.
Yeah, that, I'm just looking at it now.
Since we're saying account 6698 is for the website, when I total that up, I get $26,000 this year so far, and for fiscal year 2011, there's a subtotal there of $51,000 in that account, so presumably that's what's being paid.
May I interject when it comes to accounting and the web expense account, please?
Okay.
Roger and I and Barbara did send to you guys two things, a link and then the chart of accounts. Roger's biggest question is,
Maria, where did you send the chart of accounts? You sent an assumptions.pdf document, you sent details.pdf, you sent FY13 KPF budget. Two other emails.
I only
okay.
have one.
One was sent at 6:25, the other one at 6:43.
Okay, let me look at that document.
Anyway, back to Hunter's preoccupation or his concern is that we cannot drill down to enough detail on these top level accounts. So we have come up with, for internal purposes and looking at our expenses, has come up with a subcategory chart of accounts that you will see Barbara sent you a little ago. And no way of us in this subcategory on the general ledger. It's a report that we can do internally for in an Excel format. But that's it. I do know that just I believe Roger and I were talking, and there are items in website expenses that should be recategorized to other places. We just haven't had a chance to do it yet.
That would be my point specifically. We can't look at IT expenses from that level at all.
Okay.
And get an accurate description of where the money is being spent.
Okay, well, let me take a look. I'm looking at this document that you sent, which is, I guess, the LSB presentation, which I had looked at before on the LSB. And as I had pointed out, there were a couple of issues with that, including the maintenance of the againstthegrain.org website, which cannot be done at KPFA's expense. In addition, what it says for the breakdown, and maybe this is correct and maybe it isn't, I'll just throw it out, is we've got $17,000 a month in tech expenses, and that we're dividing that up with about $3,000 going to Roble for systems administration a month. Roble Systems is Roger's company.
No, that's not broken down by the contract. That's broken down by the individual and by some of the line items. And if you look on page 8.
Yeah, no, I understand, Roger, but when we give you a sum of money, we're giving it to Roble Systems, the contractor. We're not writing you a personal check.
Here I have $3,000 for Roger. I have another $1,200 for Amit.
Right, I'm getting to that. I understand. I'm trying to take it line by line. So we've got $3,000 out to the contractor. Michael Yoshida is on staff, and we're saying that, you know, a certain percentage of his salary is tech. We're doing the same thing for Mr. Guerrero, who's on staff. We're doing the same thing for Antonio Ortiz, who's on staff. We're doing the same thing for operations. And so we've got Roble Systems at about 4,300 plus, I mean, 50. You're saying we're paying about $6,000 a month, give or take, out to Roble. And in addition to that, we've got parts of people's jobs, 3,500, 4,500, 5,500. You're saying we've got about $6,000 a month in tech payroll, in addition, that we're paying. So if we multiply all that out, we're paying approximately $40,000 for a year for bandwidth and supplies. We're paying about $60,000 a year to a contractor, and we're paying about $60,000 a year in payroll. And that's about how your tech budget breaks out. Would you say that's approximately correct?
It is approximate. If you change the word contractor to contractors.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Tracy, that's pretty close.
Also, just to clarify, point of clarification here is that Antonio does not, he is the internal IT guy that fixes everything, printers to copiers, to computers, to anything of that sort. Not quite at the level of Roger's work.
Yes, he's on payroll. Yes.
Summer, can you hear me or not?
I can.
Okay.
Sorry, there's a little bit of noise, and I know I've got some other people on the staff.
Well,
so
I have to leave the call, so I was wondering if I could.
Yeah.
Just wait.
Go ahead, then.
Jump back.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. Because this is a conversation that's going to go on for a while, and I have someone in my office. I guess my input on this is the server costs. Like, who is this LMI.net exactly? Because they're so outrageously, they're so high. I mean, I personally, so some of this may come down to political issues in terms of what you do and where your technology lives. I don't mean political, our political internally. I mean more the external political. I personally had a server with a friend of mine that had hosting capacity for, let's say, 20 websites with streaming video. We had so much bandwidth, you couldn't eat it in a lifetime. We paid $179 a year for it. So I find the gap between what I see here in terms of charges and what I know actually exists in the real world of technology, and I just wonder why it's such a huge difference. And I know, obviously, that was an offshore server, okay, I will admit, it was offshore, but it worked fine. It worked fine for me for years. That's what I'm saying political. You know, some people would rather pay $30,000, $40,000 than go offshore for $200 a year, but we're in a fiscal crisis. So I just, dropping that into the hat, I mean, in reality, server costs can be so much less than what we're looking at here that I'm wondering why we're paying this kind of money. I'm not talking about all the other technical stuff. I'm not talking about all the other IT stuff, but just in terms of bandwidth capacity, it's out there, and it's out there cheap.
Yeah,
So,
That has not been my experience. I've actually been maintaining internet servers for about 20 years now, and the bandwidth costs are all fairly similar. We are, like I said before, moving out of LMI, which is a Berkeley-based internet service provider,
mm-hmm.
but we will not see a significant reduction in those costs because we actually move a lot of streams from 15 megabytes per second up to 40 megabytes per second, depending on our shows, and that is just for our 64K, 24K, and 16K streams. Does not include the archives downloads, of which, just judging by the web logs, our podcast hits are 70,000 per month. So we get significantly more podcast downloads than we do web streams, and the bandwidth is very high.
Yeah, I'd want to see some comparison between stations in terms of what's actually being used in terms of data and bandwidth and what we're paying for.
For the LMI charge specifically, only $100 of that is for the server co-location. Everything else is for the bandwidth.
Okay. All right, cool. All right, I apologize for having to leave the call earlier. I was not intending to, but I'm afraid I have to at this point.
It's okay. Calls go on.
Okay.
All right. So, as I recall on this matter, I had Bill on the staff. So I think I'm going to go to Bill, and then I had Ken on the staff. So, Bill, I think you're up.
Tracy, I never finished.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, then.
I just want to make a comment on this.
The way these finances work out, it's virtually impossible to follow what's going for what. It just strikes me, I'm not opposed to putting investing in technology, and I think that's the future of Pacifica in general. It just strikes me as the costs are much too high here. You have a whole IT infrastructure built up at KPFA. I don't think any other station has anything like that, and I don't understand why that's an operational requirement. It's kind of like you're driving a Cadillac when you should be using a less expensive model for doing the same thing.
Well, we're not. Yeah, it's definitely not a Cadillac. I mean, a lot of our desktop, we have 40 people in-house, 40 PCs people use every day, and a lot of them are kind of old, and they're all absolutely as cheap as they can be. And some of our servers internal in the station are 5 and 6 years old.
It seems to me if you use volunteers more liberally, a lot of the work that you're paying for right now, you wouldn't need to pay for. At WBAI, we got a donation of a bunch of computers from a university, about 18, 20 computers for nothing. And they were a little bit old, but they're still absolutely very, very good. They're useful. And they were much better than the old pieces of junk we had before.
I can't speak to any other stations. I can speak to other organizations that I've worked with, including other nonprofits. And KPFA gets more bang for the buck out of its IT budget than anyone else I've worked for by a pretty good margin. To really do a comparison between the stations of the cost of IT versus the results of IT, in other words, the quality of programming that might be attributable to IT, would be kind of detailed. But I'd be glad to go into that. I think it'd be
one measure you can quantify is how much income are you getting from your website?
Can you quantify that?
Yes.
The pledges, sure. But
I think you can
quantify archive downloads and.
You can quantify all that stuff.
RSS feeds, the podcasts, etc. I suppose you can assign numbers to them with varying degrees of accuracy, but that's an exercise that we haven't broken down the website to that degree. Because we don't actually spend a lot of money dealing with that stuff. It's set up once and then it's left running as long as it needs to, you know. It's not an expense beyond that, except for perhaps bandwidth.
Okay.
I'd be glad to go into detail with you offline on that if you want to send me an email. also be interested in what the other stations are doing. You know, at the I work with Otis and John, and we'd like to consolidate a lot of these features at the Pacifica level, so all of the stations can benefit from the internet in much the same way, without, you know, individual station budgets going towards it.
Okay.
But we have, you know, since the day I joined the station, been looking for places to cut everywhere possible, and we are very, I can only say that we're very diligent in keeping our budgets as tight as they can be without cutting services.
Okay. Alex, are you done?
I just got knocked off the call, and I just got back on. I didn't hear the bulk of the response, sorry. But I guess I'm done for now. I just wanted to make the point that I just think we have to look for some significant reductions in IT costs here.
Okay, let's go to Ken, and then loosely at some point I'll put myself on the stack. Ken, you're up.
Bill is next.
Oh, I'm sorry. God, I'm going crazy. You're right. Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Well, you talked about a lot of what I was going to bring up related to the web and IT expenses. I am concerned that it seems really high compared to other stations. I realize there's a lot to do. There's a lot we could all do more with the web, but frankly, I think that you're going to have to cut somewhere. I think your projected listener support is much higher than realistic. Even shifting a little money around from one fiscal year to another, that doesn't generate more money. And you're about $150,000 less than budget for FY12 for listener support for this year. And you're projecting an increase next year that's more than $200,000 more than the audited FY2011 value. I just don't think that's realistic. And we can go into all those details like we've been talking about, but I just can't see that as being realistic. You're also projecting a big increase in web income. Looking at the breakdown, the selected income expenses, it seems real variable from month to month. I don't know why you're going to, you know, expect an increase there, but in total, I just think it means you're going to have to make some significant cuts, and web might be one of them. Maybe that's not the place to cut, but it seemed like you're spending a lot, and it looked like this, what was spent in previous years on just called website income was basically just reallocated into some of these other categories we were talking about. That's one reason I was looking for the breakdown, and that pretty much confirmed that. But as Alex said, the WBII budget has nothing like this for web expenses. And I'm looking at the right version. It has $12,000 budgeted for 2013, and nothing explicitly for internet access. So whatever that is included in there, I presume. And their website is going great and getting lots of donations that brings in many times that. And I think we should be learning from each other and seeing what we can do to reduce expenses.
But, I'd agree with that last sentence. But, I mean, we really do need to compare apples to apples here, and that takes a fairly detailed comparison of cost between the two stations.
Well, I realize that. I mean, I guess it's basically up to Andrew. He's going to have to decide where to make some cuts, and there's going to have to be some significant cuts, because I just don't think his revenue projections are realistic, and something's got to give somewhere. Maybe not web, but somewhere. So most of what else I said has already been covered.
All right. I think that means that we're up to Ken. I'm putting myself on the stack. Anybody else want to be there before we kind of close this item?
Andrew
wants to be on. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to inject one thing at the end, if possible.
Yeah, okay. I think Kim. So put Kim on the stack. I'm going back
okay.
on you.
So I've got Roger, I've got Kim, I've got Andrew, I've got Ken, I've got me. Anybody else? Okay, that's going to be it for this. And Kim, I'm sorry, Ken, you're up.
Okay, Roger, hello. My first question is, you made a statement to Alex regarding your web traffic, and I must have misunderstood. You are keeping a detailed history of all web traffic, how many times different shows are downloaded, how long people stay on a website, which parts of your website gets more hits. You do have a history of web traffic.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So you do know, because his question, I mean, your statement about, you sounded a little fuzzy in terms of saying, well, we don't know really what the value or this or that.
Well,
you can report
now
very accurately on what value the website has. Right?
Yeah, depending on your version of value, yes, sure.
In terms of traffic hits and so forth.
Yeah, we can break down the number of times a show is listened to or downloaded over the Internet.
Or number of times people go to different pages?
Yes.
Okay. All right, now the next question... pardon me?
Well, just as one example, in the podcast, our most popular show is Against the Grain.
Okay.
And in the streams, our most popular show is Mitch's show in the morning.
Right, but I mean, it's not just relative. You have exact numbers that stat assigned. Okay.
Yes.
All right, next is, I wanted to know if you provide to KPFA an invoice for the time you spend doing different things on a monthly basis, like I spent 20 hours this month handling hacking, or I spent 20 hours this month updating from version X to version Y.
Yes, broken down to the quarter hour. Usually it's about a page or two, well, sometimes two pages of line items.
Okay, so you yourself, how many hours a month do you spend working on this account?
Oh, let me bring up my latest. Well, maybe the latest. Last few have been lower than usual. Let me bring up an invoice here. Say, for example, from May. So the total number of hours spent in May was 52.
That's by you personally?
No, it's not. 2.7 are person I have helping me writing with a grant application process. Four of those were for our PBX upgrade project. Those were all me. And then 45, let's see, I don't have any web programming. So, yeah, approximately 45 in April. Let's see, May. In April of this year, I spent 45 hours working for KPFA, yes.
Okay, thank you. And the invoices detail what you did to the quarter of an hour. Okay.
Yes.
It's not just I worked on it. It's like what you were doing.
I can read them to you. But
yeah. No, that's okay. That's fine. The invoices are delivered. So the other question I have, just two other questions. Are you maintaining a full online backup of programming and accounting? Excuse me, a full off-site backup of programs and accounting?
Yes, everything we have is backed up both in the station and online and off-site at Michael Yoshida's house and my own house.
Okay, that includes accounting applications also.
It does, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We have
and
a stack of 2 terabyte drives that we refresh every week.
Thank you. And the other question is, do you have to spend a lot of time handling hacks to the system, recovering?
No, we've never been hacked. We have, well, I shouldn't say that. We had one little issue with our Drupal website when the first year I was there, but that was as an employee. But no, we are very proactive, and one of my specialties in IT is security. But no, we have never been hacked.
Okay, thank you.
But we do a lot of upgrades to keep that record intact.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Sure.
Okay, I think next on the stack we are going to Andrew.
Just going to say in relation to costs, as Maria's put out a couple of times, we are expecting so far in the two opportunities we've had to run the new morning upfront program, it's substantially increased our morning drive income. And it's now beginning to show an increase over the entire day's fundraising. There was a point where there was some movement of subscribers to the morning when the new morning came back. As everybody knows, it was a very controversial decision to take off the original show, reinstating a new program, which is not the original, but putting a new program on in the morning at 7 has actually increased our income substantially. The second thing, I know it's speculation, we have a substantial large donor base which we haven't exploited since I've been here, but we have the names, we have the details. I mentioned Bill's considerable history in this regard. We believe with if we go ahead with the Ghostbusters proposal, which we want to do, with the Goldbusters proposal, which we plan to do, we expect to do. We're just waiting for final go-ahead from the executive director from Summer. We do expect to bring in some of that money, in fact, a substantial amount of the money, which has not been touched for I don't know how many years. We have not done any of this outreach. But we feel if we do it, we can expect quite a decent bump.
Okay, that was not IT-related, but okay, fair enough. Roger wanted to add one thing. I think I was on the stack. Am I missing anybody?
Yes, Kim.
Kim was on the stack, right. Okay, let's go to Kim, and then we'll bounce around to Roger and to me. Kim.
Did I hear you correct that we're paying for your time to write grants?
Yes, that is currently the only grant application work that we're doing.
What,
not the only, but
fine. What?
The,
what?
The only
have you written grants before? Are you a professional grant writer? And what rate are we charging you to write grants?
The same rate as everything else, and these are mostly IT specific grants, so they do require a technical knowledge. And I have written grant applications before.
No, but have you gotten grants?
Not for KPFA, I have not. Otherwise, I have, yes. But we're currently, that is pretty much on hold until the contract with Goldbusters can be brought in, so we can dovetail our efforts with whatever they're doing.
Right. Okay. Kendall, do you have anything else? Or
Are those grant writing costs separated out into some other area? So,
yes.
Look, why is KPFK's, website expenses so much lower? I don't know, but there's a huge difference. I can't figure out what's going on yet, but there does appear to be something missing between what you guys are doing there and what we're doing down here and why nobody talks to each other and all that kind of stuff.
Maria, to the stack, please.
Okay, you're on the stack. Okay, Kim, are you done, or do you want to?
Yeah,
are you addressing
sure,
that
done.
Question to somebody in particular?
No, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay, I had Roger wanted something for the stack. I had myself, and I had Maria. So, Roger, you want to go ahead?
Sure. Thanks, Tracy. Looking at all the various ways we could cut the KPFA budget, should that become necessary, you might be surprised to know that I am in agreement with you. I think the IT budget is would be an ideal place to cut. I think it would be much better than cutting personnel, some of whom are our best producers. That said, every time we look at the IT budget and go into the details, what we find is very difficult choices, because every cut that we have identified and have not yet made, it impacts the productivity of the rest of the employees. So I can't speak to other stations, but KPFA staff does use computing resources, pretty much from the time they enter the station till the time they leave. And that's just not just using Audacity to edit their shows. It's everything to do with their shows. And I think it is reflected in the quality of our programming. Compared with other organizations, nonprofits, the IT expenses per employee, per staff person are very, very low. So I would just be interested. I'd just say I'm interested in what other stations are doing that their costs are so low, because I would really like to get ours down to that level if we could.
Okay. Maria?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were next.
No, go ahead. I usually, as the chair, wait for the end. So if there's people on the stack, we try to go through the stack. So go ahead.
There are a couple of things that I wanted to add. First of all, I regard Roger as a man of tremendous integrity and intelligence. I trust him with every penny that we pay him. That's just my own personal interjection here. His invoices are extremely detailed. And as I stated before, we have this sub-level charge of account that he is now integrating into his invoices. So we can look at, and for his purpose, for everybody, we can now look at those invoices in great detail. We unfortunately can't do that with external vendors, so we will have to manually do that to that level. The other thing, too, that I want to remind everybody is the fact that Roger's work and all of our IT and ops staff maintains all of the computer and all of the network, everything that every show, not just our paid shows, but we have many, many unpaid staff that use the computers here. And Roger and Antonio and Michael, Dev, and again, it's only web, but they all are supported by these IT people. There was one final thing. Oh, computer maintenance. As I stated last week, computers are no longer an item that you capitalize. They are expenditures, especially here at KPFA, because when a computer does die or something, they cannibalize the thing. They take it apart and build new ones. So there's no way you could say that a computer that we bought 2-3 years ago is the same computer today, because it probably has many different parts in it these days. So our computer maintenance account, expense account, also integrates the replacement of computers and computer parts. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we were trying to close the stack on this item, which I guess it's about time to do. So I will get in my 2 cents, and then maybe we'll kind of move in the direction of where we're going on this budget, unless there are other line items that people want to pay extra attention to. And I think at the end of this, Roger, probably you're free, and I'm sorry it took a bit longer than we thought, and Phil as well, because I think we've discussed the particular matters that you were here to discuss.
Can I put in one more comment?
You can. Let me finish mine and I'll go to you. Is that okay?
Okay.
Yep. Okay. I guess, you know, one of the issues that came up was sort of the value of the website, and in no way do I want to say that the value of the website is only the amount of income that comes in. There's many things that websites do that are much more difficult to quantify, but it's one way, and when you're looking at a budget, part of what you're looking at is income in and income out. And when we look at that, it seems to me that what we have is we have our $90,000 in non-pledge drive web income. Then we have approximately maybe 10% of listener support, which it my understanding was always is a reasonable assumption for what's coming in on the web during fund drive. And I don't believe we have a significant amount of other web income. We don't have a web store. We're not charging people for podcasts. I'm not aware that there's a whole lot of other stuff that we can quantify in dollars coming in from our website. So it seems to me the figure that we're loosely working with is around $330,000, give or take, per year. And it looks like at $17,000 a month, we're looking at approximately $200,000 going out and about $335,000 coming in from that website in concrete terms.
and I just wanted to get those numbers out. My understanding is that KPFK is around 300,000 on that figure, give or take, and I believe that BAI is a bit lower, but then again, they've just had a website overhaul, and they're anticipating better results. I'm going to leave D.C. and Houston out of it because the scale of the numbers and the scale of the stations is not the same. So I think that's kind of where we are, and part of what we might have to look at is how those costs are kind of measuring up between the two California stations, because I think that we may be getting some real advantages from an Insight web director that we don't have at KPFA, and it may be just because of the nature of the beast that we're spreading out some costs that perhaps we were better off consolidating in one position. The other thing that I would say is, you know, on the computer stuff, I mean, God knows I hear the complaints about stuff falling apart, I mean, all the time. I mean, you want to talk unpaid staff and computers, they're an unhappy crew. And we are suffering from systems that, you know, from the point of view of the people that come in and do the work really frustrate the hell out of them. So I guess the question is, I look at the budget and I see no capital expenses whatsoever. I'm not hearing in a lot of this dialogue where I hear that we're taking apart broken computers and reconstructing them, but I'm not hearing that we're really investing much in having computers that don't break down all the time. So I guess my question is, I mean, obviously we're not in a position as such to spend a whole lot more money, but how much money did we spend in 2012 actually replacing computer equipment that died? And do we have any anticipation of doing that in 2013? I know we have a depreciation allocation that hypothetically we can use, but how much did we spend on this in the past fiscal year? I mean, just replacing computer parts that broke.
Well, about. I gave the detail for computer maintenance, and so I broke it down by vendor. I would have to do a little bit more work to do by
okay, yeah.
But that's very easy. But I answer your question briefly. We have $114,000 in the budget for depreciation, which is to be used equipment and everything. But regardless, again, computers are an expenditure item. They are not capital items.
Right. I'm asking approximately the expenditures because I didn't see a whole lot in the PDF that was sent to me for that. So I'm asking. If you can't eyeball it, that's okay. I'm just...
NA Labs is one of the companies that we use a lot for that kind of stuff. And Roger, it's MA Labs, and who's the other? MCM, I guess, or no? Roger?
Well, there's MA Labs and Amazon.
That we...
And most of our servers, the one that we might buy every 2 years, come from a different company in San Jose.
Yeah, and those, the Amazon, anything that's on Amazon, you're going to find under Bank of America, which is our Visa.
Okay, so some of the Bank of America Visa and some of this MLM stuff.
Well, there's KPFA Labs is separate, and then a lot of our Amazon purchases are done through our Visa.
Okay, and that would be in computer maintenance would be the category where that would get put.
$3,800 for 2012 for computer maintenance for B of A.
Okay.
And I don't have the detail of that, obviously.
Right, sure. Okay, well, I think I'm done. Alex wanted to say something. Alex, you're up. Alex?
Roger made the comment before that he thought that the IT costs per person are very low for a nonprofit, and he's probably right in that. I don't doubt it. But the point is, what are we comparing ourselves to? They may be low for compared to the nonprofits, but they're high for us, particularly given our financial situation. And the way other stations have been able to keep costs down is to use volunteers. And a lot of the work that's going on now that we're paying for could be done by volunteers. Some of it undoubtedly requires specialists with special technical knowledge, but a lot of it, like adding content to a website, that shouldn't require specialists. We have our website set up at WBI so that the news department themselves have their own content. Don't need to pay anybody to do this. And there's lots of things like that that could be done.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we've kind of closed the IT stuff for now. I appreciate your time, Roger. This has been helpful, and Phil as well. So I think, unless the two of you have anything else that you want to add, you're free to go. And I'm sorry that it took 2 hours. I was hoping it wouldn't, but you know, it takes what it takes. So you're excused if you would like to be. Andrew and Maria, it's up to you if you want to stay on the call or not. I think we're going to kind of turn to kind of next steps and where we are and what we're going to do with the budget. Yeah, Bill.
Can I ask one quick question? It's sort of related to that because it comes under the computer maintenance thing. In the details list that we got, it lists a bunch of charges for MEMSIS. For MEMSIS support, I presume, and I don't think the other stations have that. I'm just kind of curious. It looks like for 2011, it was $7,200. This year so far, it's $4,400. Is that? I'm just wondering what that was. Is it just the regular support?
It is.
That's the license fee and support for MEMSIS software.
Okay, because I'm not sure other small stations even have a support contract. Maybe they should.
Point of information, Bill.
Is it worth that?
Bill, we have that charge yearly. I don't know that it's support. I thought it was just a license renewal. It's something I can get into on my end and see what that is.
It is, and also the maintenance.
Could I just make a point of information, please, Tracy? It's Andrew.
Yeah, sure.
And this relates to Roger, too. He will explain better than I, but as I think you know, KPFA also serves the four stations. We run the KU band out of here, and there are other internet and IT-related folded into that. Maybe Roger just wants to his 2 cents to that.
Well, actually, Michael could speak to that better than I could. But, yeah, we do contribute to a lot of the stuff Pacifica does, and I think we could do more along those lines too. But if there's one thing we need more of, it's dialogue between Pacifica and us, and probably the other stations too. I think that's really the key to reducing our IT expenses.
Yeah. I agree with that actually, and I think it's a weak point all the way through. I think there's definitely levels of duplication going on. And we'll have to figure out what to do about some of that. But, okay.
Okay, Bill, you called on me, Tracy, as I'm going to be leaving, I guess, here in a minute. An IT comment, but we were talking earlier and we got sidetracked about the major donor over $1,000 line item, and there was some concern expressed on some quarters that the numbers high. I wanted to point out, and Andrew touched on this earlier, that as we bring Goldbusters in, their immediate first task is going to be to resurrect a major donor campaign. And as we know, we haven't had a development director here for a number of years, and we're actually losing some of our big donors to Democracy Now! With their $2,000 dinner with Amy. And people, as we all know, big donors like to be asked. That's part of wealthy people. They want to be asked. So I think that the line item that we have here under 5752 for major donors, hearing that Goldbusters is hopefully coming on very soon, we should have no problem reaching that average monthly. And thanks for listening.
Okay.
I have one. This is Ken. I have a follow-up question for Roger.
I will never get any closure here. All right, I'm going to take one more stack for follow-up questions for Roger or for Phil before we say goodnight. Is there anybody else? Speak now or you're losing your chance. Okay, Ken?
Okay,
Roger.
Answer? Yeah, Roger. Are you aware of any agreements or contracts with third-party bundlers who provide our content or KPFA's content on web mobile apps? I'm talking specifically about TuneIn or...
I am not aware of any such contract. I am somewhat aware of radio apps that have our station listed in them.
But you're not, you and your department are not doing anything with them. You don't,
no, I
you
think
don't send
Kay
them.
And Otis and John are looking at that, and we've all talked about it. But it's, yeah, it's a matter of budget, whether there's anything we can do there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, thank
you. All right. Thank you both. Your time is much appreciated.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And good night. Okay. So I guess at this point, we kind of need to move into a sort of a next steps conversation and also what we do, which is sort of general comments on where people think that we need to go with this budget. We are in phase two of our review. There are no rules, and if we feel that we need a part three, then that's how we feel, but certainly time is rolling along. We're already into 3 weeks before the end of the fiscal year, so I am hoping that we can resolve this budget this evening with all due deference to what time that it already is. But hopefully people's questions have been answered to a significant extent, so I kind of like people to weigh in on where they think we should go and how we should get there. We'll kind of take a stack. I believe that the LSP treasurer is, of course, still on the call. I believe the business manager still is, and I believe that the GM still is. So if we have questions.
Right.
So if we have questions that we'd like to address to either of them, we should do so. If we don't have questions, then we will simply go into comments. To the extent possible, let's try to focus on where we think the budget should go and not on rebutting each other's comments, because that will take a great deal of time. And really what we're trying to do is sound off all the members of the committee in terms of what their thoughts are, what their concerns are, and where they think that the committee as a whole needs to go. And we will probably have differing opinions, and that's okay. Any group does. So with that, I guess I'll take a stack for sort of where do we want to go with this budget. And...
I'll go first, Ken.
Okay. Does anyone but Ken want to get on the stack at this point?
Bill.
Okay. Anybody else?
Jim.
Anybody else? Okay. Let's start with Bill. I'm sorry. Let's start with Ken. Then we'll go to Bill.
Okay. Just not to waste time. I think we have to cut $150,000 out, and I think the basic problem is speculating on the potential income that might or might not arrive from Goal Busters or from potential major donors, and everybody's wishful thinking. Hey, if it comes in, that's great. Let's have a party. But it's better to have to adjust the budget up because of an unforeseen advantage or bonus income than it is to have to adjust the budget down because of an over-expectation of speculative funds. And so I think we should cut $150,000. Where that comes out of, I really wouldn't say. We could cut it proportionally from different areas. I don't see one major area that I would cut from. And that's about it. I don't know if you're going to have to do it. If you have to take it out of personnel, and maybe, what do they call that, furloughs or something. But so I'm not recommending where to cut it. I'm not that expert in the details of the expenses. But there's a speculative income here, much in excess of $150,000, but I think we should cut it down to $150,000.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bill, you're next on the stack.
Okay, thank you. I'm basically agreeing with Ken. If anything, I would say you might need to cut more. I'd be willing to give you a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, but if you compare the FY11 total revenue, the audited FY11 value with what's projected for FY2013, it's $375,000 more. And I just can't see that being realistic, even with Goldbusters. And, we don't put a value in for grants and other speculative kind of things until we get it. And I think the Goldbusters thing is in that category. I support doing that. I support using them or somebody else that has experience with building listenership as well as getting revenue, but it takes time for that to work. And I can't see a whole lot of that really being coming in during FY13. Their proposal indicated they would spend the first phase just gathering income and, information and talking to people and evaluation and producing a report. And then the second phase, they would start to do these things that would actually might increase revenue. And I just don't think much of the revenue is going to come in during FY2012. So ends up being generous by only cutting $150,000. I also note that you're coming under budget for FY2012, even with adding extra fund drive days. The listener support is $2.5 million projected through this year, and the budget was $2.7 million. So that's a substantial decrease, not an increase. And yet we're projecting an increase of up to $2.65 million in listener support for next year. I'm also concerned about the simple services being based only on that one line item, 5,000 listener support. So I think you're underestimating simple services by some amount. And like Ken, I'm not going to say where you're going to make the cuts. The biggest thing is personnel, and probably part of it's going to have to come out of that. Whether you decide to cut something from web or elsewhere, that's up to Andrew and people that know more, but I think we have to make cuts, and I think we need to be realistic and not expect too much from Goldbusters in the first year.
Okay, I think Jim is next on staff.
And then put me on Kim. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just be echoing what Ken and Bill had said. I've been a little bit higher, but I thought needed to be cut. And I just think, again, areas that Ken brought, I think it's speculative, hasn't been proven, and I just feel real uncomfortable. I guess the other thing that would concern me is most of the expenses are increased across the board. There are some areas that are not increased, but it looks to me like there just have to be some decisions made that just something just has to be reduced, because I feel real uncomfortable with the increase in possible revenue. I was thinking of an amount between 50,000 and 200,000, but I'd feel comfortable in 150,000. And where the cuts come from, I think that's something that the station knows where they could make that kind of reduction. But that's what I feel about the current budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think the KPFA business manager wanted to say something. Is there anyone else who wants to be on the staff?